Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Speak of the devil.
Speak of the devil. I'm Aiden.
I'm Colin.
And yeah. I'm Hayden.
And we're back after the Oscars. It's been a little bit. But yeah, we're talking about BlacKkKlansman today, which I think we agreed was our favorite of the
overall
eight Best Picture nominations.
Yeah.
For sure.
So
my favorite.
Yeah, no, we all really liked it, and we'll be talking about that today. A few quick editor's notes about the last one. I said that Spike Lee had been nominated for Best Director previously. I was incorrect about that.
Yeah, he
was. This was his first nomination for Best Director. Still got robbed, though.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also said he'd been nominated 7 times in the Oscars without winning. I was thinking of Glenn Close, who'd been nominated for Best Actress 7 times without winning. I don't know how I got those two confused. They're, like, very different people. But, yeah, no. In this Oscars, Spike Lee was nominated 3 times, and he won one of them. He won for Best Adapted Screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now let's talk about the movie.
The movie itself. This was a very... I don't know. I really enjoyed this movie.
I really liked it. I rewatched it like 2 nights ago. So.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while because we had to watch a bunch of the Oscars movies before then, nominated best film movies.
Yep.
We watched.
This is definitely one of my favorite movies. 2018 in general.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because a lot of them had like pretty similar like themes for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of like race movies, so and so.
Yeah, I think you could probably describe 3 that were nominated for Best Picture, but there were a lot of others
that
weren't.
But this one, to me, kind of stood out because it wasn't entirely revolved around that, or at least it didn't feel like that.
I thought that it did.
But
it was more than that.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get there.
There's a lot more to enjoy about the movie,
mm-hmm.
like other than its message. Even though I thought the message was very good and very clear.
In general, a lot of the Oscar movies this year had like a big message behind them, and I think this was the one that kind of took what could have been like a crazy movie and really like impacted it in a bad way and kind of turned it into a good thing.
Yeah, I think this one and Roma had really great messages. And I agree with what you said, because like, I feel like if you give this movie to another director, it's like a really different movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because with something like this, you know, depending on the director, you play up or play down the meaningfulness of like the story. Because like some directors are just going to like try and tell the story and make like an action movie pretty much, like a based on true events action movie.
It was almost like lighthearted.
Yeah, it was like...
It
had like a weird tone where it's like it was serious and there were important moments, especially between like Patrice and Ron and like all these different characters, but also it found ways to be entertaining and mm-hmm. funny at times and interesting.
Yeah, nothing felt forceful when they
definitely,
you know, like presented the tone of a scene mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah, so a few things about the movie. It's released on August 10th, 2018. It's rated R for language throughout, including racial epithets, and for disturbing violent material and some sexual references. It's 135 minutes, or 2 hours and 15 minutes. I feel like I talked about this in the preview, but seriously, all of the Oscar movies are like anywhere from like 2 hours and 14 minutes to 2 hours and 16 minutes.
Yeah, it's
like
bizarre. It's so weird. They find that like specific, the sweet spot.
Yeah,
at least for me though, I think this one was unnecessarily long at certain parts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we can talk about that quick. Like, the Grinch thing, you know, the
filler. The right.
like,
piano.
There was just one scene where they were, like, had that rally, and they were just at the rally for what seemed like an entire, like,
hour.
Oh,
with,
yeah.
with Kwame
and I was like,
Ture.
Yeah, like, right. how long are you going to rally? I get it.
Yeah, we get it, yeah.
They totally dragged it on purpose just to hit
that. And, like, that dancing scene. Like, the dancing scene was just so long.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it was something my mom pointed out to me that, like, I didn't even really think of the first time I watched it, which is, like, when they're at the dance club, like, Patrice just got, like, pulled over and, like, harassed by police officers, but, like, now she's at the club, like, enjoying herself with Ron. And so, like, my mom was like, how could somebody do that? But sort of the perspective that I saw it was that, like, Spike was trying to show that the way that the police treat black people is, like, such a reality that they can just go on with their day afterwards because it's just like such a part of their existence. But that might just be my
kind of irony too that Ron is a police officer.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's like a lot there, which I think is like the most like I've talked a lot about like relationships and like love between people in movies and how sometimes it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
But I really liked the role that Ron and Patrice's relationship played in this movie because, like, she was sort of this character that embodied, like being black and being proud and sort of, like, being black first and American second.
There was a contrast.
And exactly. There was, like, Ron it sort of struggled to know how he felt about his blackness. And then you also have Flip, Adam Driver's character, who's Jewish, but really, like, doesn't care about it. But now that he starts doing this case, he starts to think about it more.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, on Rotten Tomatoes, this movie got a 96%, and AV Club, it got a B+.
Good ratings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually, we can get onto finances a little bit, but I was really surprised this movie only cost $15 million to make.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I'm not really that surprised. I feel like it didn't really have...
Yeah.
Other than certain scenes having to be, like, very... to look a certain way to pull the whole movie off, there wasn't really that much, like, explosions or,
right.
Like, you know...
CG and that kind of stuff. Because that stuff takes a while. Yeah, I agree with that.
It didn't feel like... I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't action-packed at all, but it had... good scenes.
There was no real action, but there was still like tension.
Exactly.
And excitement.
And that's really important.
No Dark Knight, but
yeah.
But that stuff is really important because that means he's able to keep you interested through the dialogue and through the characteristics of these characters,
that's
not through
like
fight
like,
scenes.
Like David Fincher is a really great director. And one thing that people always say about him is the way that he creates drama and, like, tension is by revealing information through dialogue.
Which is, yeah, that's
And it's,
very,
like, I, like at the heart of movies is dialogue.
Exactly.
Because when you think about dialogue, dialogue is just the representation of two characters' relationships.
Yeah, I think, like, characters and their interactions are, like, the most essential thing for a movie. But they also did some pretty good visual representation, kind of like mid-90s, how they... there's a lot of silent moments. I mean, not nearly as much in this
movie.
Just
like long shots.
Yeah. There is a lot of that.
Yeah, and I think that's a good segue to talk about just, like, the visuals of this movie. Because, like, rewatching it, it's like they don't really stand out to you. There are a few shots that are like, oh, that's Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I noticed was just, like, the use of color and, like, that sort of, like, fall, like, 70s vibe. Was like kind of interesting.
I get that. Yeah, it was just kind of like I can't remember a lot visually. I can't remember a lot about this movie. Yeah. I remember like the dance scene. I remember the protest scene. I remember them being in the police office. I don't know. Like if you tell me to recall a specific scene, I couldn't do it. If that makes sense. Like
it flows very well.
Yeah, I mean it not. Like bashing it or anything, I still enjoyed the movie as I watched it, but like I feel like it didn't stand out as much to me in that regard, but it's still like I don't know, it kept me interested.
I just don't think it needed to be anything special,
right?
Like the visuals like didn't need to be like the new Spider-Man movie where it's like the first ever way that they're using the new animation, but it just needed to pull off what it was supposed to look like, and I think it really did pull off that time period. I mean, I wasn't alive in that time period, from everything I've seen, it looks very accurate, and it looks, like, very well done.
No, definitely. It's, like, it looks good even though, like, it doesn't, but it doesn't stand out either.
Yeah, but I mean, it gets the message across.
But it doesn't need to.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That wasn't really the point of this movie.
Yeah, so, Oscars, this one got nominated for... 6 Oscars, and it won one.
It
got nominated for Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor for Adam Driver, Best Director, Spike Lee, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Film Editing, and Best Original Score. And so it won Best Adapted Screenplay, which
the score, and I'm sorry, I know we should be talking about best adaptive screenplay, but I thought the soundtrack in this movie was fantastic.
I agree with that. It's very, like, distinct.
Yes.
And like, moody. But,
definitely.
Like, it fits.
It set the tone. Absolutely.
Yeah, I
like,
agree
it just
with that.
It worked so well.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the composer? Do you have that?
I don't.
No, that's fine. Still, yeah. Like, either way, it's. It was incredible.
Yeah,
whoever
yeah,
that
it was very well done. So it won adapted screenplay.
Humming
and
the song.
The something that I didn't know about this, which I guess I sort of should have put two and two together on, is that this was a book, and it was written by Ron Stallworth.
Oh really?
Yeah, it was published in 2014.
Hey, you mean Ron Stallworth?
Ron Stallworth.
And so the movie's called, or the book is called Black Klansman, Race, Hate, and the Undercover Investigation of a Lifetime.
Huh.
And so, yeah, it's really interesting. And so Spike Lee, Jordan Peele showed the book to Spike Lee. Spike Lee read it and decided to make a movie about it.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing a lot of these, like, based off of true stories, movies recently. A lot of them are, like, it's a lot of times they're, like, they seem to skew away from the actual reality. I'm not sure how closely this was to the reality, this story.
Mm-hmm.
But it said it was based on a true story at the very beginning, so.
Yeah. One thing that I thought was interesting, speaking on the whole based on a true story thing, is, I don't know what your opinions are on this, but Spike Lee didn't let John David Washington speak to the real Ron Stallworth until like very late in the movie's creation. Yeah.
Huh.
Well, I think they have to establish that like character dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a good way of doing it.
Right. You don't want an actor to sort of like only focus on portraying like a real life person without, because if you're like, oh, I gotta get his mannerisms down and stuff, you're not thinking about like all these things like, oh, his motivations, you know, where he was then, because, come on, this was 50 years ago.
Right,
yeah.
It's a completely different person now.
At the end of the day, it's the director's call. It's Spike Lee's call.
Definitely.
And
he's the one with the creative
vision. I think he made the right one. So.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. I thought Washington did a great job in this movie. I thought all the actors did great.
Yeah, I think they were all, I mean.
Even Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren.
I wouldn't say like anyone seriously stood out as an actor, but they all did their job very well.
That's like my favorite type of movie.
Right.
It's like it's nobody's movie.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, with this one, it's probably Spike Lee. You know.
Well, yeah.
Like you've got like, like with every movie, I feel like there's always like one person that like
really
gets the most from this movie being made. And with this, I'd say it's Spike Lee, but it's also like. Yeah, it's like the Patriots. It's like everybody got into the studio, they did their job, they made
that's
it,
really
they
matters.
Won an Oscar. And yeah, so, and I also, like a bunch of, I think they're good, like, investments in actors, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, I see what you mean. Like, they still, they're nobody crazy on the scene, but like, they still do their job, they get, you know,
But also on the investment part, like, it's like, I think Spike chose, in Adam Driver and John David Washington, chose two guys that are, like, up and coming almost.
Who?
John David Washington, who plays Ron Stallworth,
right.
And Adam Driver, who plays Flip Zimmerman. And it's like, John David Washington, he's Denzel Washington's son. So, like, obviously he's got a lot of acting chops. But he really wasn't making movies until late 2017. And then since late 2017, he's made 5 movies. Yeah, he's made...
Getting to work.
I know. He's made Love Beats Rhymes, Monsters and Men, which I heard is really good. Monster, not a different movie. Black Klansman, The Old Man and the Gun. And then I think he's working on a new one right now. And then another thing is he's slated to star in Christopher Nolan's next movie.
Oh, really?
Which is, like, a big deal because Christopher Nolan, like, picks the same, like, 10 people to be in all of his movies. But, like, they become sort of, like, generational.
Well, I think he just does a really good job at getting into character.
I agree with that.
Like, just overall acting is very good, which I think is hard to pull off, because you can definitely tell when someone's not good at acting. And it just seemed like the movie was real rather than he was trying to portray
something. Seemed very comfortable with it, too.
Yeah,
that's super important for
acting. Kind of like the I don't care vibe.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that can work sometimes.
Yeah. I heard in an interview that he listened to a ton of 70s music.
Like
everything.
To prepare for this movie?
Like, every genre. He'd, like, listen to it when he woke up. He'd listen to it when he went to bed.
That's commitment.
I know.
Yeah.
So for, like, for 3 months straight before he started this movie, he was doing that. All right, do you guys want to get into a ratings?
Yeah, we can get into our ratings.
All right.
You can start.
Colin's starting.
No, I am not starting, mostly because I have to open my computer to
No, because he wants to change his ratings every single time.
Shut up. We don't need to. No, don't call me out on this.
Colin, you've done it like 3 times.
Oh, that's my computer.
Is it going to die?
No, it's not going to die, Aiden.
So, I'll start then. Production, I gave a 9 out of 10. Like I spoke on earlier, the shots were really pretty sometimes. Like, there's that one that I noticed where, like, it's at the very end of the movie and Patrice and Ron are together in, like, their apartment, and somebody knocks on the door and they both, like, get out, like, their guns and, like, point at the door, and then there's that like, long shot of, like, them doing this, and it's sort of, like, Tarantino-esque. And it's like just like it feels like a Western kind of. It's hard to describe.
No, I know
the shot. And so, like, that was really cool. And there were a few moments like that where it's just like, that looks really nice. And then also, like, just like the color, and like this sort of like consistent use of like colors, like browns and oranges and reds, that really like created this vibe for this movie, but also like this Colorado Springs town in the 70s.
It set the tone really well.
Yeah, definitely. And then the other half of production is soundtrack. Yeah, and I thought the soundtrack was amazing. I loved it. I talk about it way too much, and it's like, it's not like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse or something where it's like some huge deal, but also it's not like Green Book either.
Right.
Like, Green Book and like a few other Oscar movies that we watched, sort of, it's just like the music, it's good, but it's like lazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Kendrick Lamar. It's like, that fits exactly what's happening
for the movie.
Yeah, and so like with like a lot of movies, they just like play it safe, and they're like, oh, let's just put this music that people won't notice is playing, but like will contribute to the scene, which is fine. But like with this, like, I noticed the music a lot, and I was like, oh wow, that sounds amazing. And I really like, and they like with the reoccurring themes for different characters, and like just so much detail went into the music. And then storytelling, I also gave a 9 out of 10. I thought the storytelling was great. I really liked all the characters and thought that Ron especially and Patrice both had very interesting dynamics and like character arcs. You know, how they learn, how Ron like sort of changes as he becomes this police officer and he leads this investigation as a rookie, and also just gets exposed to like this racism and these like people. And I think he just, like, grows and realizes sort of what's important and how, like, you know, there are two different parts of him. There's the part of him that's a black man that feels he's oppressed and all that. And then there's also the part of him that's a police officer that's trying to make the world better and be a part of this society.
Yeah, he's a very interesting character.
Definitely. And so, like, I thought the characters really, like, this movie was based upon them, which I think any movie should, but this one did it very well. And then casting, I gave a 10 out of 10. It was like everybody, like I said earlier, like everybody was where they needed to be, and they all did their jobs, and they made like a great movie.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's all I have to say.
So. All right. Who's going next here?
I guess. Colin.
Who's going?
Colin's still working on his ratings.
So. No, shut up.
I have my ratings
here. I have my ratings here. Do you want to hear them?
Oh, wait, I never said my overall, sorry.
Yeah.
My overall you is need a to finish. 28 out of 30, which is a 93% or an A.
Nice.
Yep.
That's good to hear. All right, do you want to go, Hayden?
Sure. Okay, so for production, I'll start off. I gave it an 8. The reason I gave it an 8 is because although, like, it wasn't like, outstanding or anything, it really did fit what it needed to be, and I don't think it like went over the top and distracted people, which I think a lot of the movies nowadays kind of distract the viewer from the story and they just are too crazy with the visuals. So I think it was good, I just don't think it was great, so that's why I gave it an 8. And then for storytelling, I also did an 8, just because although like it did take a very crazy issue and kind of bring a lightheartedness to it and bring it all fully around and kind of tell the story as a whole, I think it was just kind of like a lot of dead space at times, and I was like, this is so boring. Like, why am I watching this scene for like 5 minutes? This scene could be like 30 seconds. So that just kind of irritated me as a viewer and kind of pulled me out of it at times. But overall, it was really good, so I think it deserves like an 8. And then casting, I gave an 8 because I'm going all 8s today. So casting was nothing special, no one crazy. I mean, other than, I think, Kylo Ren, you know. Everyone knows Kylo Ren from his...
Actually, I kind of forgot that was the actor, like, while watching it. Until after, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the dude.
The first actor I saw. I was like, that's Kylo Ren, the dude from Star Wars. Though,
you know, because you don't want to be, that guy from Star Wars.
I'm glad that happened to me, because I was just, that's what I would have been thinking.
Like, they didn't have anyone crazy in the movie, but I think that also made it better to watch as a viewer, because you're not like distracted all the time by like, oh, that's Kylo Ren. Mm-hmm. You're like, nope, this is this character from this movie. So
yeah, like, I like it when.
So I went full 8s today, and that makes it a 24, which is an 80, which I think is kind of low for this movie, but I think it deserves to be tough because, you know, it's an Oscar movie, so gotta be tough on it.
Yeah, I feel that. All right, onto my ratings. For production, I gave it an 8 out of 10 because, yeah, I mean, nothing really stood out. Like I mentioned before, there's no specific, like, scenes or just moments that really, like, resonated with me. You know, whenever I think back of a movie, I kind of, like, a movie is important to me if I remember it properly. I don't know how else to describe that. It just, like, I have to have a good memory of it. It needs to be
memorable.
Yeah, that was the word I was looking for. Good memory of it. I'm so good with words.
And actors. That's
also true. Probably why I couldn't remember Kylo Ren. For
Hey, that's the Star Wars guy.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah, so production, 8 out of 10. But, like, either way, I mean, the soundtrack I thought was absolutely stellar. And that's the thing. You mentioned how, like, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was kind of, like, it was completely different from that, even though it was still, like, memorable. I think animated movies in general just tend to have, like, more significant soundtracks. That's not the right word I'm looking for. Standout?
Distinct. And I'd say, like, more closely tied to the movie.
Yeah, because, I mean, this was a live-action movie, and that, I don't know, something about live-action movies usually, to me, need to be more, they need to vibe more.
But then again, think about it, like, there are live-action movies that have very distinct sounds and songs.
True.
Like, think about Harry Potter, Star Wars. Like, there are all these movies that create, like, a universe of music.
Right. Yeah, it is very interesting in that regard. But it's still, that's kind of, like, fantasized. You know what I mean?
Right.
While this was, like, very, it was realistic.
I think both do a similar job in world building, though.
Yeah, true.
Where in Harry Potter you've got music that sort of contributes to Hogwarts in this Wizarding world, yep. Mm-hmm. And then in this sort of
Wizarding world,
the music contributes to create this setting of 70s Colorado fall.
Which, yeah, you also mentioned before, the colors were very consistent and interesting to look at. It was good for what the movie needed to be. But, you know, to me, I guess just standout movies get 9s and 10s for that in that the production and storytelling. I also gave an 8 out of 10. I felt like, the storytelling kept me interested basically the entire time, except for, like Hayden mentioned, like the dead space in between. Did feel a little off at times.
Just disconjointed
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, I felt that too. But, like, for the most part, I still, like, I enjoyed the movie. I liked the characters in the movie. Like, Ron was a great character, very interesting. And his dynamic with a bunch of different characters was also very interesting. Like, you mentioned him and Patrice, but I just thought, like, a bunch of his interactions, just in general, were...
I know what you're saying.
We're good. You know what I mean?
I like the... I don't know if they ever had a character. They probably did, but I forgot. The organization guy?
Yeah.
It's an organization.
I know. Just
oh, that was Felix?
Yeah, the truck.
The crazy guy.
First right? time in the truck. Like, that was that was great.
Just in general, he was a good character. And all the other characters were good, too. But, you know, it revolved around this guy. And they did a good job with that. But I just gave it an 8 out of 10 because of the other. It just didn't flow as well as I kind of hoped it would.
Because he took Hayden's rating.
I did not. I had 8 out of 10 on here, Aiden. Do not question me.
So we have a fun fact going around. Colin always changes his rating, and he always does one of the two of our ratings.
Yeah. No, not true. Because casting is 9 out of 10.
I put casting 10.
You put 10 out of 10. You put 8 out of 10.
Okay.
It's not happening. Casting 9 out of 10. I thought the cast was really, it was great for what it was. Like I said, again, a 10 kind of is like a standout to me. Like, it just has to be super distinct for the movie to give it a 10 out of 10. But I still thought, like, the casting just in general was really good for what the movie needed to be. And I don't really have much else to say on that. It's just I thought it was good. Spike Lee did a good job choosing these actors.
There you go. So what's your overall?
25, I think, because you had a 24, right?
24.
Yeah, 25 out of 30, which I don't know what the percentage is for that, which Aiden is pulling up on the calculator right now.
All right, so I had a 28, Hayden had a 24,
mm-hmm.
You had a 25.
Right.
That makes our rating an 86.
86. I kind of expected it to be higher.
Well, yeah, you guys both gave it Bs.
I mean, I guess you're not wrong.
I think in a perfect world where Colin and Hayden's ratings are higher, this movie sits in, like, the B plus A minus range.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, A minus, I think this movie kind of deserves it.
I think it's an A minus.
Because I feel like our rating system here is, I mean, it's good for, yeah, it's good for this podcast. But I feel like there is a lot
so
more
complex.
There's a lot more to talk about with movies in general, not even just Black Klansman.
Yeah.
So
just that dead space, just the automatic turn off for me.
That
just makes it so.
That little thing just. You know, but I mean, maybe if we watch it,
that for me takes it from like an A to a B.
But that's also the other thing. Like Aiden watched it twice. Me and Hayden watched it once. Maybe it was just because it was our first time watching it.
No, definitely not.
You don't think so? I don't know.
If anything, I think stuff like that would, like...
People watch movies one time.
You'd notice more.
Yeah, good point. So, I guess Aiden just over-glorified the movie, or we just gave it beat ratings.
I don't know, so...
Probably somewhere in between.
85, 86. I think... I mean, you all should go see this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a great movie.
It's a good movie, and it's also...
has a good message.
It's on demand right now, too, so...
Oh, yeah.
The book came out in 2014, and, like, I'd never heard of it. But one thing that John David Washington said in an interview was... He said, "I was blown away that this piece of rich American history, it fell through the cracks." And, like, I think that just sort of says, like, a lot about this. And I don't want that to happen with this movie, because I think... Not only is it a great movie, but it's about, like, a great story.
Yeah, and it still, like, it relates to what happens today in modern America.
Without a doubt, it had a lot of sort of...
Parallels.
Not direct mentions, but there were definitely references to Trump.
Oh,
like, there were a few things, like, I think Felix had a quote where he basically just... It was either Felix or David Duke where they basically just... like said Trump's campaign slogan, "Make America
Make
great
America
again."
Great,
there was definitely there was a line
Except
that was
there
very
was
similar to that.
White instead of gray, instead of gray.
True.
Yeah, and then obviously the movie ends with like some footage
Charlottesville.
And talk about the Charlottesville riots.
Yeah,
very graphic footage, by the way.
So, Yeah, no, it's like it's a very like somber ending and sort of like, but it's like it's what happened.
Yeah.
So.
No, it was.
And I like that Spike added that because it sort of informs the events that he's thinking about when he decides to make this movie.
Yeah, it keeps you thinking afterwards too, and I really like that when a movie keeps you thinking afterwards.
Yeah.
I think that's a really important aspect of it. And maybe I should have given it a little bit more leeway because of that in my ratings. But
yeah.
I don't know. I still, either way, really enjoyed this movie.
I'm just glad he put those scenes after and not before.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Because that would have been weird going into it, knowing, like, sort of having that in your mind.
Because I feel like anyone else, like, would have made that mistake of putting it before.
I agree. I'm glad you noticed that. All right, you guys want to talk favorite scenes?
Oh, sure.
I can start.
I think we all have one favorite scene in common, probably.
I probably really like it, but definitely don't know which one you're talking about. All right, my favorite one. Oh, I think I know now.
Yeah.
So, my favorite scene is like the ending, the climax with like the house and the C4.
That's pretty.
And I think, honestly, from the point that Ron Stallworth. The actual Ron Stallworth, not Flip Zimmerman. From the point that he introduces himself to David Duke and says, "I'm gonna be your personal bodyguard today," from that point on, just like the tension and like the intrigue is just like it's so you can't take your eyes away for that like 35 minutes.
It's just
period.
So ironic.
Great,
as well.
Great
like,
setup.
We know what's going on, but the characters have
right,
no idea.
Exactly.
That's
it's like
what's
a
so
dramatic
great.
Irony kind of thing, and it just creates this awesome dynamic that's really interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I that's probably my favorite scene, without a doubt. And I don't even know if you could call that a scene, because it's
right.
like you've got the dinner.
More of a time period.
Yeah. You've got like
the ending of the movie.
The dinner and the.
The last
the, like,
act.
Initiation, I guess, and then also like the stuff at Patrice's house.
Yeah,
but
some like I don't really have a specific scene that I like, but the scenes I really liked were the ones where he would talk to David Duke on the phone. I don't know, something about those interactions
just,
were really funny
those
to
are
me.
All good.
I just like that. My favorite was the ending interaction.
Oh yeah, that was so
also,
good.
With the police officer after, because he was like, "Oh, we don't have enough money to do this," and I was like, "What?"
Yeah, that was.
Like,
yeah.
That doesn't make sense to
that
me.
Was,
like. That part we didn't talk about, but I just don't like, really understand
why it's there.
Yeah, why they had to put that in.
Right. Yeah, that was weird. Because
I
like,
never understood the meaning of that part.
I guess it really happened if like this is based on a book, right?
Yeah.
But I think like it's meant to show that like although this great like thing was done. Like, it can't really be shown in, like, newspapers.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Because, and it's, like, it's, one, it's about, like, a black guy that does this thing. And I think, like, they didn't really want to, like, show that, even though they, like, if you have, like, this brand new first black police officer in Colorado Springs, like, you'd think you would want to show that he's doing these very mm-hmm. impressive things. But at the same time, I think they also, like...
We're in the middle of a podcast.
Yeah.
Please don't interrupt. Thank
yeah,
you.
There's a sign
Close
on the door.
Door. Yeah, there is a sign
Connor
on the door.
Are being very rude. So.
Why did they not? All right, whatever.
They're not going to
continue.
To this, so they're not even going to know that I called them out. but what was I saying? Oh yeah, the scene about them like defunding the thing. It's like it's bad because. It, like, they couldn't, like, release this everywhere and have, like, him become this hero because, like, then they're, like, sort of showing that the KKK, like, still exists, mm-hmm. I guess.
Kind of
yeah.
like the Men in Black effect. Like, they just
yeah,
saved
exactly.
the whole world, but
exactly.
nobody knows.
Yeah. And so, but it just felt weird because it's, like, you get to this climax and then you're, like, yeah, he did it. You know,
proud of him.
These idiots got blown up in their car. Sorry, spoilers.
yeah, it's like demotivated. Another me though.
Another
I'm just
car
like,
crash.
What?
And,
like,
and then he gets all this success and he does it and then like, oh, and he puts away that like racist police officer.
Yeah, he does. That was a great
does,
scene
like,
too.
He does like a sting operation. I love that.
That was a
like,
great scene.
You hate that guy though for the whole movie, and then they just hit you
just
with
a
this.
Piece
and
of
you're
garbage.
Like, oh, what the heck? But I think they resurrect it with. Like the him calling David Duke,
mm-hmm.
and just getting sort of like that satisfaction.
Well, I love the part where like he puts the phone down and he just sits there in silence for like 8 seconds straight.
It's awesome.
So good.
It's awesome. And then
I love David Duke's character as well.
It's like, who's the actor for that guy?
I have it right here.
Because he is
Topher Grace.
He did a great job.
I just think he was a very, very good fit for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just exactly what I pictured.
Like, I know it's a serious movie, but he almost made it like a caricature.
Yeah, he really did.
Especially because like David Duke's still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like he's still a guy.
I wonder what he thought about this movie.
Probably didn't like it.
Yeah, probably not.
So David Duke, if you're listening to our podcast, please come on and
we'll
interview you.
Yeah. All right, the last thing that I want to talk about is Oscars and how this movie did. Because like I think we all thought that Spike Lee, even though we kind of knew that he wasn't going to, I think we all like wanted him to win this award.
Yeah. I can say I'm not surprised. But I'm definitely disappointed.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I think he's been knocking on the door for like a while.
I know. How many nominations?
Nominations of
how many nominations has he had? Because I know he's only had like one Oscar.
Best Director nomination.
No, just in general. Was that his first time being nominated as
an Oscar? Best Director.
Just anything, really.
No, he's been nominated 5 times.
Okay.
I just love when he jumped on Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, he's so awesome. Dude, he and latched onto him.
His speech was really cool.
During the Oscars. That's what we're talking about.
He had a really great speech, sort of like, and it was like, it started off like it seemed like it was going to be very political, but then it sort of became this thing about, just like being a good person and doing like the right thing. And he finishes it off with "Do the Right Thing," which was his first movie. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, great movie, which I think is a good bit. And then supporting actor, Adam Driver. I liked Adam Driver, but like, he's better than like Mahershala Ali, like in Green Book? Like, I don't know if I could say that.
No, I don't think so.
I don't.
So. I agree with who won.
I mean, he did a good job, but yeah.
I think he's a good actor. I just don't think this role kind of like gave him that much to work with.
Yeah, there's not a lot of emotion to your character.
Yeah,
to his character.
Like he almost had to play someone within playing the movie.
Yeah,
literally.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. He was popularized by Star Wars as Kylo Ren. But a lot of people will see him like that.
Yeah, but I also think like he's one of the guys that's sort of got like this career ahead of him of like good movies like this. Like he was on Girls for a while as like a big character. I don't know, I don't watch that show. but then Girls ended in 2017 and he did Star Wars, and now he's sort of like finding like this, like, even though he's like 35 or something, I don't know what like peak actor age is, but I think he's finding this like area that he's gonna be in and like do very well in.
Mm-hmm.
So. And then film editing, I really can't speak on it. Like, I thought it was good. It definitely...
It was good.
What, did Green... No, not Green Book. Bohemian Rhapsody win?
I think... Yeah, did it win?
I believe so.
Yeah. Which, I mean, kind of surprised me because... I mean, that's the thing. Film editing, it's just like...
Yeah, Bohemian
make sure
Rhapsody
your movie
won.
Doesn't...
But a lot of people thought that the editing in that movie wasn't that good.
Yeah. I mean, nothing crazy out of that.
And then... Original score, they were also nominated for, and I thought they for sure should have won.
Yeah, they should have won that. Who won original score again? Looking that up.
There's just so many movies that have the same kind of theme.
Black Panther. Black Panther also had a very good score.
But yeah, I mean, it was very distinct for the movie it was.
And it's also, the thing about Black Panther, too, is there are very few movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe with...
Sounds like that.
With like distinct soundtracks.
Yeah.
So like I'd say like Avengers has a good one, this has a good one, Black Panther has a good one, and Ant-Man has a good one, and the rest of them are like very bland.
And after that, it's just kind of whatever. Anyway. But I still think Black Klansman probably should have won. I don't know why. I just really enjoyed the soundtrack more.
Soundtrack,
I feel like that's subjective at that point.
For sure.
Yeah. This score is difficult to rate.
Yeah. No, all right, I think we're...
Yeah, I think that's it.
We're finny.
We covered a lot. How much time was that?
We're sitting on 40 minutes right now.
40 minutes? That sounds about right.
Which is tough because if you guys don't know, we're recording this on Thursday, March 22nd.
And we're late to the next
class. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and so it's a half day because of professional development. So classes are shortened. Journalism ended like 10 minutes ago.
Right. We're still, you probably heard the bell midway
through.
That's right.
This. We're very dedicated to the podcast.
I love doing this.
We're trying to create the best one possible.
It's a lot of fun. Are we going to get anything else? Like another podcast
for
on before the next quarter.
I'd like to.
Oh, yeah. We also have some exciting news.
What's that exciting
mic situation?
News? Oh, yes. Yeah.
So we're probably right now we're sharing one mic, but we are
hoping to get new mics. I mean, we're probably getting
new mics very soon.
Yeah.
So
looking forward to
that quality. Give us a rating wherever you get your podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
I know we're on
podcasts.
Anchor. Well, I mean, we use Anchor now, so we're on a bunch of different platforms.
Anchor. If you guys want to
very good service
this podcast.
Yeah, we were sponsored by Anchor.
Contact one of us.
We tried Blue
Geek,
Apron
if you
want
to hit me up.
ZipRecruiter, check us out. So you guys want to quickly talk about? I'd like to get another movie.
About from the Oscar.
Yeah, I would
lineup.
Really like to do Vice.
Yeah, I want to see Vice.
Like
I still haven't
like
seen Vice.
Vice.
We should watch that.
Yeah, we should.
It's on pre-order.
So,
and we might get somebody else on, like as a guest.
Yep. We want to do a guest, but we haven't found the perfect person yet.
Yeah.
So.
We could try to get
and
Chris
then
on.
If we don't do Vice, we'll probably do like Black Panther or Green Book or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Because I don't think we like Bohemian Rhapsody enough. And I don't
definitely
know.
Or,
not.
You know, maybe we could just get like a movie that we dislike.
And I also don't know if I understood Roma enough to. Speak intelligently.
I want to watch The Room. I want to watch The Room and do a podcast on it because of how bad it is.
Quarter four. If we, if Suture renews us for season three, we might have some interesting things coming your way. So
that'll be so much fun.
Yeah, I think that's it for today.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
This one has been fun. I enjoyed this a lot.
Check out our other podcasts. Check out our Oscar preview. Our Oscar review.
Because we're kind of on the downswing, if that's the right word, for the Oscars here.
Definitely.
We're almost done with that, and then we'll jump into different movies.
Yeah, Q4, coming back.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Adios.
Peace.
Catch you later.